Hello and welcome to In Park Tracks. This is Jordan Zuha, news editor for In Park Magazine, and I have successfully taken over this podcast. But I have brought on a guest, a very, very familiar guest, and it is our publisher, Martin Palicki. Thank you for joining me.
Hi, Jordan. Thanks for having me on your show.
Thank you for giving me your show. Actually, the reason why I'm at the helm today is we didn't finish our conversation from last time. We were talking about the new changes at Epcot, you know, the old Epcot getting something new, Gardens of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind, something borrowed, Remy's Ratatouille Adventure, but we never got to the Something Blue. And you've been to this place. What is this place that is Something Blue that Epcot's receiving?
Well, it has already received Space 220 Restaurant, an immersive dining experience inside of World Discovery at Epcot. And it's been open since October.
I have yet to visit Space 220. And so I'm really excited to hear what it's like from your perspective. My question is, we've talked about the changes that Epcot's been receiving, especially during the 50th anniversary and nearing Epcot's 40th anniversary. So where does Space 220 fit in the current picture of Epcot?
Sure. So the whole concept, right, is that you are dining in this tethered space station that is 220 miles above the Earth. It's positioned next to the attraction Mission Space, and it is part of what is now going to be called World Discovery, which makes sense, right, because you are discovering a view from space. It also is extending the, shall we say, like, fine themed dining that exists in World Showcase at many of the country pavilions, such as in Mexico or even in Germany. So it's a little extension of that as well, I think.
Speaking about discovery and innovation as well, I know that this is sort of an imaginative experience, but it kind of connects to something real world right now, which is space tourism, isn't that right?
Yeah, so I actually got to speak with Wendy Aguilar, who is a project coordinator from Walt Disney Imagineering on the project for Space 220. And she really brought that up. I was sort of surprised that I thought it was just sort of like something fun and who doesn't like space, but it really is connected to something that is very now.
I think this really proves how exciting innovation can be, right? Because the whole overarching story here is space tourism, right? We want to kind of bring that to guests. And I think that we have really achieved that here.
I really love the space tourism idea, mostly because personally, the real life version terrifies me, but this restaurant experience actually excites me. So it's kind of cool to get a taste of what future generations will probably get to experience, but kind of in a more safe, friendly setting for somebody like me.
Space tourism is hot right now. So this is a great option for people to at least get a little taste of it, a simulated taste. That's what Disney does, right? It's the world of simulation.
A taste of simulation and a taste of something delicious as well.
A taste of space food.
It's a whole experience. And I want to hear what it's like from beginning to food on the table. Can you tell me what it was like for you?
Sure. I do have a little caveat that I was there for a media preview event. And so what I saw and experienced might be different from what you or your friends might experience today or tomorrow. So you start off in the little atrium lobby. You get a ticket for your space elevator ride. And when it's your turn to go up, when the doors open, you enter in the space elevator. It's a little kind of round room, maybe like a dozen, 15 people fit in there.
Welcome aboard the Stellarator. In just a few moments, you'll be on your way up to Space 220 aboard the Centauri Space Station. Enjoy the ride.
There's a guide joining you and taking you on your journey up to Space 220. And you can look down and see like home base pod of the elevator. And you can look up and see like way up in the sky where you're headed. And then it lifts off.
You're riding aboard the Mark V Stellarator, the latest in space elevator design and technology.
And it's like classic Disney elevator experience. I sort of think of the old hydrolators to the seas. This just goes in a different direction, right? As it starts to move up, you see Central Florida disappear and get smaller beneath you until basically you see the whole planet below you. Then you exit into Space 220. And from that moment on, it feels like you are in a different part of the galaxy. You're not really part of Earth anymore, even though you're technically tethered to the Earth. You walk out and there's a little hallway that you walk through and you can see a grow area is what they call it, where there are some vegetables that are being grown in a circular tube. It was sort of reminiscent of the Horizons attraction that was there years and years ago before Mission Space, and maybe it was a nod to that, I don't know, but it certainly was the vibe that I got. At the end of that hallway, then you get to the maitre d's table. And then once your table's ready, they take you around the corner and you have the big reveal moment where you actually walk into the restaurant's dining room. And you see the curvature of the earth below and the blue planet. Again, we're talking about something blue. You see the blue atmosphere along the top of the earth. And it's just like, it's one of those wow moments that you're like, oh my goodness, I'm in space now. The music is really sort of ethereal and spacey. It's dark, right? I mean, it's not an especially bright room because the focus is on the view out on the windows. And there's a bar off to the right, but then the rest is sort of this tiered seating. And that's like the general concept of the restaurant, what it felt like.
We're talking about tethering, which is actually an idea often talked about in science. We don't have the technology now yet, but it sounds like there's sort of a more grounded take on this, that what you're looking outside kind of does blend into reality. Is that right?
Yeah, it is a mix of a little bit of sci-fi, right? Because we're not able to create this experience right now. But it is based on some sort of rough concepts of science that could sometimes happen. And actually, Wendy talked a little bit more about that.
We were able to, early on in concept phase, kind of touch base with NASA on exactly, you know, how would this look from, you know, the International Space Station, from 220 miles, from the viewpoint of Florida, right? So as you can see behind you, the Earth itself, and we're in, you know, orbit with the planet, which is why it's not rotating, because we are rotating with it. So there were those things that we definitely put into consideration as well.
So what she's saying is that we're looking down on Earth, it doesn't move because we're tethered to it, but it is dynamic, right? Like it changes during the day. At night, it looks like it's nighttime. And there are also little things to look at when you're out in space. They're just little moments, like you see a space dog out on a walk. There's people that are signing to each other. They're in spacesuits, of course, and they kind of float by the window. And just cute moments like that. By the way, talking very frankly, we're not looking out on space. We are looking out on some type of screen, right? Or screen system. But it does look quite dimensional looking out the windows. And it was really impressive. And it was interesting. You wanted to look out and see what you could notice and observe throughout your meal.
So, of course, this restaurant doesn't just serve views. It serves food as well. You got to do a little tasting of a couple items?
Yes, we did. And I have to say, I am quite happy with what I chose. As you would expect, the food is like pretty gourmet. And I should mention, by the way, that Disney actually is not operating the restaurant part of the experience. Patina Restaurant Group actually manages and produces the food experience for the restaurant.
Patina Restaurant Group, they also happen to operate the two restaurants in the Italy Pavilion as well.
Right, right on. So they have great experience in delivering these kind of themed and elevated dining experiences. So for example, like we had an elevated Caesar salad dish, and then I had an ahi tuna appetizer with, you know, like little wonton crisps. And everything was, you know, I can't really show you pictures because this is a podcast, but everything was beautifully presented and plated in a way that you'd expect from a fine dining experience. I will say they were fun cocktails too. The bar was an active bar and they were making all kinds of interesting drinks, including one with cotton candy that kind of dissolves when they pour the drink over it. So there's some element of showmanship in the presentation of the drinks as well. And of course, plenty of dessert options. By the way, they do have different menus for lunch and dinner, and it is a set price that includes an appetizer, an entree for lunch, and then also dessert for dinner. I guess if you sit at the bar, you can order kind of a la carte from a different menu too as an option.
So, Martin, we've gotten to talk about what it was like to enter into the elevator, to launch up to the restaurant, to walk in, to see that view, and even taste the food. But there was one other detail that I remember you mentioned that you were impressed by.
I don't know if impressed is the right word, but I thought it was intriguing. So after having all this delicious food, if you do have to use the restroom, I encourage you to do it on board Space 220 before you go back down to Earth, because it's actually a themed bathroom experience as well. Well, actually, I actually recorded what happens in there, so take a listen.
Your attention, please. Please be advised that in the unlikely event of the loss of artificial gravity, fluid vacuum containment systems will engage your laboratories automatically. Thank you.
So basically, if you couldn't understand that, I know it's hard to hear, but it's kind of a joke announcement that says, like, in the unlikely event of an artificial gravity malfunction, fluid vacuum containment systems will engage, which I thought was cute and funny, and certainly not something that they had to do. Then once you've washed your hands, then it's time to go and you head back out. And it's basically sort of the reverse of coming in. You know, you head back out through the hallway and then you board the space elevator to go back down to Central Florida and Epcot.
SV1, you are cleared for departure. Initiating descent in 3, 2, 1.
Get to see the Space 220 restaurant disappear from up above, and you see Florida get larger and larger as you're going down. And then the doors open, and with your full belly, you leave Space 220 and head back out for an afternoon or evening of maybe the harmonious nighttime show, or maybe you want to go have a margarita in Mexico. I don't know. But the world is at your doorstep at that point.
That sounds like a stunning experience. And I will be trying to book a reservation if I can. Our last episode, we talked about two ride attractions, something we typically think about with theme parks. And we also typically think about themed restaurants for sure, but sort of the marrying of science and culinary and just the wow factor of something like Space 220. I want to know, whether emotional or industry related, what impression did an experience like this leave with you?
So Disney is not a stranger to themed dining experiences, and this certainly raised the bar for that type of experience. The thing that always is challenging, I think, for us as industry professionals is like, great, I don't have the budget that Disney has. I can't invest in a view of the earth for people to enjoy. I get it, you know, but this is what people are expecting now. And especially as we emerge from being inside for a couple of years, people want experiences that are different than what they can get at home. And so I think that you can still create experiences that are memorable by paying attention to details, putting together stories that can be combined with food and dining and retail experiences in a themed environment. It does not have to be to the technological level that Space 220 is. It just has to be fun, right? That's what people want, is they want to suspend disbelief for an hour, have some good food in an environment that's not traditional. And you can do that. And people are expecting it. And they're willing to pay for it. And that's key to owners and operators, is that this is a revenue-generating enterprise. Give people what they want, build it, and they will come, as long as you build it well, and then you market it well and present it well. And you too can benefit from the current trend in experience design and experience eating.
Martin, thank you for joining me on my new podcast, In Park Tracks. I unfortunately will be taking a break next week, so I'll be looking for a replacement for hosting, if that's okay.
Well, you did a great job, and I don't know what Philip will think about that.
Thank you for taking us up to space, where today you can go travel on your vacation.
Thank you, Jordan.
This has been In Park Tracks, the audio companion to In Park Magazine. For more information and to sign up for a free subscription, visit inparkmagazine.com/subscribe. In Park Tracks is a production of In Park Magazine. Our executive producers are Philip Hernandez and Martin Palicki. Today's episode was recorded by Martin Palicki with Jordan Zuha, and post-production by David Swope. Music in this episode includes Inspired by Kevin MacLeod and recordings taken on-site at Space 220. The Impark staff includes Judith Rubin, Joe Kleiman, and Jordan Zuha.
What about it terrifies you?
Oh, heights. Also flying, turbulence, falling from the air. Jennifer Coolidge.
Is she in the space elevator?
She's the Uber Eats spokesperson right now.
I love her.
Oh, I don't think anybody doesn't love her.